Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 14th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 68, the second paragraph, that begins with, "Perhaps there is a better way," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Athena B, I think it is. Sorry, Athena. We'll be reading the 12 steps. Miriam Rivka H for the 12 traditions. And our readers of the text will be Eileen M and Robin P. The share ID for Wednesday, November 13th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,659. That's 13659. And for this morning's November 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,661. That's 13661. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary H, and Janice PM will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Athena B. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B., and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks so much, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Athena B. Miriam Rivka H., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Miriam Rivka H. in New Jersey. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has the one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you, Miriam Rifka. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the big book. We're on page 68, the second paragraph that begins with perhaps there is a better way. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So Eileen M., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm gratefully recovered in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Perhaps there is a better way, we think so, for we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. Wow, there's a couple key words here in this paragraph for me. And the word calamity, what does that mean? You know, I looked it up and it means disaster or catastrophe. And, in early abstinence, my sponsor would often say to me, you know, is this really a calamity? And, you know, in those days, I was afraid of everything. Everything to me was a calamity, everything that happened. And I was really a person of extremes. And the other word that comes up for me is, or I'm thinking about, is the word infinite. God is infinite. And that means that God is unlimited and endless. So, you know, God's resources are unlimited. And, you know, he or she, whatever your belief is that I believe that, you know, he can handle anything that I have, you know, no idea what to do. He has ideas that I don't even know about. And the third word that kind of really strikes me today is humbly, where it says we humbly rely on him. So the word humbly, you know, shows me that I'm powerless. I'm powerless over my fears. You know, I cannot on my own effectively manage any situation that's before me if I am paralyzed by fear. You know, today there's a solution. You know, as a result of going through the big book with a sponsor, is that I take my fears to prayer and meditation and I ask for inspiration or an intuitive thought. And just had a small example this summer, this summer I was planning a wedding for myself, you know, I'm planning my wedding, and I'd never been married before, 56. And, you know, there were a couple things that came up and I had no idea how to handle them. And I could have just been, you know, my life could have become very unmanageable, but instead I just went to my higher power and said, hey, I'm afraid of this. What are your ideas? And everything worked out. I mean, it was incredible, and I'm so grateful for this new way of life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen M. Okay, we're going to open it up for sharing. Who'd like to share on the second paragraph on page 68?
Patty D.
Magdalena.
Sherry K. B.
Magdalena. Magdalena, what's the first initial of your?
W.
W. And Sherry K. B.
Kathy G.
Bruce E. Kathy G.
Donna B.
And Donna B. Let's stop right there. Perfect. Okay, I have Patty D, Magdalena W, Sherry KB, Bruce E, Kathy G, and Donna B. So go ahead, Patty D.
Hi, this is Patty. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Hi, this is Patty D, gratefully recovered in Matthews, North Carolina. And this particular paragraph actually came home to me yesterday. My husband was really upset about some issues we were having with our banking institution. And he was concerned about bills not being paid and what people were going to think of him. And I said to him, you know, it only really matters what God thinks of you and what I think of you. And then I corrected myself and I said, and really the only one who matters is what God thinks of you. And I said, and I'll fall into line. And I was hugging him as I said this, and he pulled back and he said, wow, I've never heard you say that before. And I just laughed, and I didn't say it, but I thought in my mind, you know what? I haven't said it before because that's what program has done for me. When in the past there was something that came up, a calamity or a stressful situation, I would go off. And now, because of program, I can give it to God and just relax about it. And of course, our spouses, many of us are not in a program, and so they react differently. But now I have this peace, and I have program to thank for that. And, you know, I'm also almost to my goal weight, but that's like a plus. It's not about the food, which I thought it was when I first joined OA. But it's about this serenity that comes with this close relationship with my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And so it's just so powerful. And I just wish that for everyone on the line and all the newcomers too. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. Okay, Magdalena W., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB. Magdalena, are you there? Star one to unmute. Somebody's unmuted.
Hello.
But
I am yeah. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes, I can.
Hi.
I can hear you.
Yeah. Hi, Magdalena from the UK, recovered restrictor and compulsive eater. Thanks for your service. I love this paragraph. We've been looking at fears the last couple of days, the things that strike fear into the heart of me. That's the heart of the agnostic me, the me that doesn't have a God. You know, when there is a calamity or something happens, you know, that's not what I want. And then I'm in my self-reliance and I'm completely forgetting about God's God-centered world. I'm in my self-centered fear world. And I just love it when it says, perhaps there's a better way. You know, the basis of trusting and relying upon God, trusting infinite God. And this week something happened. There are some difficulties. I'm going on a 12-step weekend this weekend, and it's run by someone with whom I've had difficulties, who's been dominant in a particular group. And my workshop that I'm delivering doesn't have enough people in it. The other workshops have more. And I had a lot of paranoia that I was being undermined and ostracized from the main group. I had all sorts of stuff going on, but I used the program. I used step 10, step 11, and step 12. And what I found out was that God can run the program. He can run the workshop, you know, with me. If I'm connected to God, I can run this workshop for 6 or 7 people. It's an improvised comedy thing, and it needs a few more people. But I know God's in the picture now, so that other person can't harm me. And what I can do is I can give a service to those 6 or 7 people who have booked and not think about what I need, but just be open to trusting and relying upon infinite God. And I just really feel that it's changed that experience this week. And I feel a lot of serenity about the upcoming workshop. And that's an example of using the program in my everyday life and seeing the changes. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Magdalena W. Okay, Sherry KB, your turn, followed by Bruce E.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen O, and everybody on the line and Team Wednesday. I love this paragraph. It's one of my favorites. Perhaps there is a better way. That, to me, just opens up so many different ways of thinking, and that's what I think it is I'm addressing my thinking here. To rely and trust my higher power, to rely on it. Because my job, when I work with other people in this program, in the book, my job is to get them to rely on their higher power, not on me, to get support. Because that's the road I take from here on out, is that I do get support from my fellows, but my full reliance needs to be on a higher power. Trusting infinite God, which infinite to me is also limitless, endless, never-ending, impossible to measure. And where a finite self is, I'm limited. That's what it's telling me, because my finite self doesn't even have a vast idea of what my higher power knows that can help me. And that I'm willing to play the role he assigns me. So, and I truly believe that my higher power loves me and wants the best for me, my highest good and my greatest joy. And so if I align my will with my higher power's will and do his will, the promise I'm given here is that I will match calamity with serenity, and that is a beautiful thing to me. I've had a lot of different calamities in my life, and I've seen where my higher power has had a hand in helping me. And especially, I really love this reading on page 544. I'm going to try to read it quickly because it's really helpful. It says, "The mental twist that led up to my eating began many years before I ever took a bite. For I am one of those whose history proves conclusively that drinking was a symptom, eating was a symptom of a deeper trouble. I stand convinced that my emotional illness has been present for my earliest recollection. I never did react normally to any emotional situation. I am the result, because of OA, I am the result of the way I reacted to what happened to me as a child. What is much more important to me is that OA has taught me that through this simple program, I may experience a change in this reaction pattern that will indeed allow me to match calamity with serenity. And I'm just grateful for my higher power, because I've had a lot of things go on in my life that, you know, life is going to happen whether I choose to stay absent or not. But if I'm absent happily and contently and I've aligned my will with my higher power's will, I will definitely match calamity with serenity with my higher power's help. It's a promise. And that I pass. Thanks for your service, Kathleen."
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, Brucey, you are up next, followed by Kathy G.
Bruce E. And let's see. I like that. I'm in North Carolina recovering. I like that idea that life's going to happen whether I'm abstinent or not. That's exactly right. Life goes on. Whether I'm absent or not, I might as well be absent, live it that way. Let's see. Well, here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. Well, Eileen, congratulations to you on your marriage. No wonder I hadn't heard from you lately. You've been busy getting married. And let's see, finally this. Have a good time, but remember, see you in November. See y'all tomorrow. I got my arms all ready to give a lot of hugs to a lot of people that'll hug me tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Let's see. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. I just had to do that about the bride and see you in September. Anyway, perhaps there's a better way. We think so. Well, a better way than what? That's a question. Well, what about the, what have we been studying the last two or three days here? The fear thing. There's a better way than fear. I lived in fear. Now it tells me here there's a better way. We think so. You know, there sure has got to be a better way than living in fear. That's terrible the way I lived for so long and still try to go back. My mind takes me back to living that way. For we are now on a different basis, a basis trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than finite self. What an ego trip I was on to think that I could do all these finite, you know, with my own finite self, I could accomplish all this stuff that God needed to accomplish or do it with me, in partnership with me. So, infinite God, unlimited power, rather than my own little plans and little limited power of my own. We are in a world to play the role he assigns. We are in a world to play the role he has assigned. So I've heard people say before, well, you know, what's the purpose of me being here? Why am I living at this particular time, this particular place? What am I here for? Well, that's the answer. We are in the world to play the role he assigned. So that's why I'm here. I'm here in this world to play this role that he has assigned. I'm not here to play God. That's a problem that I've had all this time, is I'm always wanting to play God. But it says here, play the role that he has assigned. So I need to do what he's assigned for me to do and get that done.
Time,
which
please.
Is to stay sober, abstinent. Oh, thank you. And I pass.
Okay, thank you, Bruce E. Thanks for the song. Okay, Kathy G., you're up next, followed by Donna B.
All right. Thanks so much, Kathleen. And thanks so much for the song, Bruce. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's funny. I was reading this paragraph this morning. Oh, I'm Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. And I think like you, Bruce, I'm just a little excited this morning. I'm excited about the convention, and it really changed my life in 17. And it's just amazing how God expands this fellowship and the relationships we get to have and the great joy we get to have in this program. So what a gift we have. And if you're new on the line, I was thinking, you know, you could read this paragraph and think, perhaps there's a better way. We think so. And basically what they're saying is, and God's it. God is the better way. And you might be just thinking, I just want to stop compulsively eating. I just want to gain weight. I just want to stop throwing up. You know, why do we have to bring God into this? Well, it says there's a better way, and that's what I needed when I came in, because my way was not working. And so now we need to find a different way of believing and opening up and trusting upon something other than ourselves. We need power. And I have found power and joy and peace to come from infinite God rather than from my finite self. They kept trying to do the same thing over and over and expecting different results, and it just didn't work. And I have found God to be infinitely good, infinitely gracious and generous and loving and kind and extraordinary. I mean, so much bigger and more generous than I could imagine, seriously. And, you know, like we've heard this morning, that we're here to do what we're assigned to do. And that might sound oppressive on some level, but actually the exact opposite is true, which is kind of how God seems to move. The more that I seem to be able to trust him and rely on him, the more peace that I have, the more people I have, the more love that I have. And what a gift that is. I mean, I had a conversation with a sponsee this morning that I just wish that I could record and play for all of you. You know, a person that was struggling so much, and to watch them transform as a result of doing these steps and doing the work and daring to take suggestions and rely more on God. It's a great gift that you don't want to miss. So can't wait to give you some hugs in New Jersey. Looking forward to it. Grateful today. Thanks, Kathleen. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Okay, before we take Donna B., I just want to give you a reminder that we are on page 68, the second paragraph that begins with "Perhaps there is a better way." And after Donna B. shares, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, Donna B., please.
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Being able to share on the meeting this morning means a lot to me. I have been working with a sponsee that is beyond my scope of understanding and beyond my scope of experience. And we have decided not to work together any longer. And this morning, I received 20 text messages from her about how much I hurt her. And I am living on a different basis of trusting and relying on my higher power. It's been a rough few days trying to determine which action to take. And now that I'm seeing the text messages that include rage, anger, and disappointment and blame, I'm able to read them without responding to it as if it is a calamity. I have found that sponsoring, whether I'm in the role of the sponsor or the sponsee, is a pain point, is a growth point in my own recovery. I often reflect that Bill W. wrote one paragraph on step 6, one paragraph on step 7, an entire chapter on working with others. And the opportunity to work with others, knowing that we all have this disease, brings up a lot of opportunities growth. And I can see a reenactment in this relationship with my sponsee of my relationship with my mom, and I'm willing to grow from that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, opening the line up for anyone who would like to share on the second paragraph, page 68.
Dorita P.
Mary
P.
Okay, who is
T.H.? Mary H.
Cindy
oh, Mary
H.
H. Mary
no.
H. And
Cindy
H.
Okay, now I'm totally confused. Here's who I have. Tell me if this is wrong. I have Dorita. Okay, remind me of your last initial. I have Mary H., I think it was. I have Denise, I don't have an initial, and Cindy. Can you correct any of those?
You get Robin P.
Okay, Robin P.
Delora P.B.
Delora P.B. Okay. Okay, let's stop there then. So, Dorita, was it Dorita P or Dorita B?
Dorita P. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Hold on 1 second, Dorita. So I have Dorita P. I think I have a Mary H., a Denise, a Cindy, Robin P., and Delora PB. So go ahead, Dorita P.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita P., and I'm from Cleveland, and I'm real grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yeah, you know, I was debating, should I share, shouldn't I? And this house phone that I'm talking on, for some reason I wasn't able to unmute myself. And it was because I had a call come in, and then I clicked back over. I'm presuming that's what it was. And I said, well, maybe, but before I knew that, I said, well, maybe it's just not meant for me to share. Maybe I'm supposed to listen. But then something struck me, and I said, well, let me hang up and call right back and see if I could unmute myself then. So that's what I did. And what struck me or what hit me was share about my powerlessness. You know, we're talking about fear, and somebody shared yesterday that she was fearful about everything. You know, she was fearful that her husband was going to leave her. She was fearful about money and about the future. She was just fearful about everything, and I was really able to relate to that. And so, you know, we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. And the powerlessness, you know, I was angry at God. Maybe some people can relate to that. I was angry at God when I came here. So, you know, I wasn't thinking that it was a God issue. But I'm really grateful that, you know, you guys convinced me that there was a better way to live, you know, because I was killing myself. I was almost 300 pounds, and I was killing myself, you know. But with this program and God of my understanding, I've been able to release over 100 pounds, and that's a miracle. And what's even more miraculous than initially losing it, that has been off for like 12 years, and that's really a miracle. And also, you know, I'm not ruled by food. I mean, I was ruled by food. Food determined everything, you know, when I was going to go, where I was going to go, how long I was going to stay. So I'm just really grateful for this program. And so if there's any new people on the line, just keep coming back. Just keep coming back and be open, you know, be a little open to what's going on. Because I know for me, my way definitely was not working, so. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Okay, I think I have a Mary H. up next, followed by Denise. Is there a Mary H.?
Yeah, hi. This is Mary H. I'm grateful and recovered in Wisconsin. I am so grateful for this part of the Big Book. This whole fear inventory part of the Big Book has been such a powerful agent for change in my life. Until I came to this program, I really did not have an appreciation for how much fear dictated my life. Part of the way that that manifested was that to be able to walk through life despite feeling terrified and empty and hopeless, I had to find some way to survive, to be able to keep walking. And that was to disassociate, to numb. And, you know, part of my story with how I chose to do that was food. Eventually, that started killing me too. And that's when I found a way. So when I get to this point, when I've taken steps 1 and 2 and 3, and I'm in the midst of 4, I can see, because I took step 3, that I'm on the basis of trusting and relying upon God you know, the paragraph before is when we're hit in the face with the fact that fear, despite the fact that it makes us feel like a victim, is all about self-reliance. And I learned that cockiness was both when I seemed so sure and when I seemed like I was telling myself what a piece of crap I was, because both of those are lies that I tell myself to maintain control and have a sense of safety within an unsafe world. But this asks me to rely on God, an infinite God, rather than my finite self. And it explains that to the extent that I do as I think he would have me. And how do I figure that out? Well, it's not with my own brain. For me, it's not about looking at my character defects and trying to do the opposite. I don't know what in me needs to change. I show up imperfectly. That sounded a little too like powerful and perfect, right? But I try to show up every day in the ways that I can and ask God, what do you want me to do today? What is my job today? Thank you so much for timing me. And when I do that, then I match calamity with serenity. And I'm so grateful to have found this program. I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary H. Okay, Denise, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. So I have you followed by Cindy. And Denise, what's the first initial of your last name?
It's Denise H.
Denise. Okay, Denise H. Go ahead, Denise. Thank you.
It's been a while since I've shared, but I've been listening, and there is a better way. There is a better way, and I have to practice that on a daily basis, because God is a gentleman, and he's not going to force me to do anything, and I have to turn to him rather than to my own thinking. And, you know, we do live in a world of chaos. It's chaos as soon as you walk out the door. I remember when I was studying landscape design and we were doing, you know, the history of gardens, and the word jungle was anything out beyond the garden wall, or anything that was beyond, you know, the maintained and cultivated garden was jungle, which was chaos. So chaos is always with us. There's no getting around that. And so the calamity in my life, I think I used to fight it and fight it and fight it on my own strength. And now it's such a luxury to turn that over to God on a daily basis. I recently moved to South Carolina, which is huge, huge shift for me. And just culturally and geographically, in the midst of all that upheaval, my younger sister, who has mental illness, borderline personality disorder, yada, 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 started, you know, acting out. And so I was afraid to get caught up in that because I was afraid I might start eating again. But God has enabled me to match the calamity with serenity if I turn to him on a daily basis. It's not like I can just, you know, get a dose of serenity and hike back into the jungle. I have to ask God for help on a daily basis, a moment by moment basis. And what a true joy that has become, because I don't have to do this on my own. You know, whether it's thinking through my next move for my career, or where to start painting, or, you know, I can't go out painting today because it's raining or it's too cold or windy. So I'm trying to humbly rely on him, as I surrender to him, he opens up opportunities for me to see the world and to behave in the world according to his will. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Denise H. Okay, Cindy, I have you up next, followed by Robin P.
Hi, everyone. This is Cindy H. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I live in Kansas City. I have been profoundly affected while I've been listening to all of you share, and something that has come into clear focus, I'm really new in this, and is that all my life I've been looking for comfort, and I played either a victim or a hero. I wanted to do one or the other. That was the role I wanted to play. And then realizing my powerlessness was a slow process, and I really struggled, even though I believed in God most of my life, I struggled to really surrender everything to Him. And it occurred to me that it's God's power that helps me. I don't have to conquer fear. I just have to take one step out of it, and that God will help me to do that. He'll take me, getting a sponsor was terrifying for me. And just making that call produced a feeling of complete exhilaration. The fear wasn't gone, but I was just thinking, wow, this is incredible. I can do the hard things, and with God's help. And so I started looking for trusting my higher power and stepping out with Him and being okay with being uncomfortable. I've looked all my life for comfort, and now I look for being in sync with God and letting Him direct my life. And I knew I'm hardly ever doing it perfectly, but I have learned so much from this meeting over the last few weeks, and I want to thank you all, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Cindy H. Okay, Robin P., you're up next, followed by Delora P.B. Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kathleen. I'm so excited. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys this weekend. God bless you all. It's awesome. You know, the basis of trusting and relying upon God, we trust infinite God rather than our finite self. You know, for me, the fear has been around. I've been absent for several years, and what I experienced in Los Angeles with the wildfires and with 5G radiation, and I started losing words, which is a common side effect, it turns out. And, you know, 80% of the songbirds dying in the country from the EMF and from the pesticides. And I just think, oh my gosh, and we came to Florida and there are all these blue-green algae issues and the dolphins are dying of Alzheimer's. It's just a huge problem. And I keep thinking, oh my gosh, it's so toxic. The U.S. has let itself get so toxic. And I feel afraid. And I feel sensitive to it. And I just get to keep relying on infinite God instead of my finite self. You know, and you know, I know there are predictions about so many things going on right now with the environment, and I feel afraid, and I just get to keep surrendering it. Somehow this is all part of God's plan, and that, you know, either He's nothing or He's everything. And I agree with the dolphins. I'm a huge animal lover. I'm plant-based. I love animals too much to eat them, and I'm one of those real sensitive souls, you know, and I just, you know, feel so sad about the birds. And I get to surrender it to God. And every day, just literally, I literally take my hands and I push it up to God and say, here you go. Because I, finite self, cannot solve this. And I get to go with the plan that God has for me. And God bless all of you with a very abstinent, wonderful, and I pray that we're all, you know, really living in the light this weekend, and that we really, you know, I pray that I get to really remember just to really be an instrument of God's peace. And thank you so much. I look forward to meeting all of you and hugging you. And God bless everybody with safe travels. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, Delora P.B., you're up next. And after Delora, we might have time for someone who wants to real quick share. So go ahead, Delora.
Hi. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to share and then also for your service. This passage just reminds me of the grueling part of working the steps that I struggle with. I was not a fan of this part because my sponsor at the time when I was working the steps, at the, you know, in the middle of working all the 12 steps, I was constantly saying, if I continue to trust finite me, I get this. But if I continue to trust infinite God, I will get this. And I had to say it for each resentment, each fear, each everything. And it became annoying. And I was getting very frustrated and like, why do I got to keep saying this over and over again? I get it. But in reality, I had to look back and recognize that in the past when I worked the steps, so this is not my first time, of course, working through all the steps, but in the past, a lot of times we run through this and we don't have time to actually think about it. You know, after a relapse, you know, like, well, what went wrong? What did I not do? What was I not thinking about? But in reality, for me, I was not trusting infinite God. I would trust him enough to give him the big thing, but then it would, when I felt like I can handle the rest, oh God, I got this, you know, and went back to my finite self. And then where did it land me? So pretty much, and I got so irritated having to say this over and over again, but now and I realize that God, now I can take each and every instant that, you know, when I am irritable or discontent, like, God, if I continue to trust myself, I'm going to remain irritable. I'm going to remain frustrated. But if I give it to you and trust infinite you, then I can let this go and move on with the rest of my day. And this allowed me to see that. So now this is one of my favorite things to say. It's easier for me to say because I had to say it so many times. It was annoying, but now it's to the point where now I can say it and know why God needed to show me this, because I wasn't seeing it before because I trusted myself so much. I got this. But now I can see that I cannot do it by myself. And I thank you for the opportunity. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Delora PB. Okay, would anyone like to take a two-minute share? Terry S.? Okay, Terry, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. And again, the fear inventory section of the big book has just got my name written all over it. I am so yearning for the serenity that is promised in this program. I am recovered, though I have a hard time saying that word. I'm a food addict. In recovery is more of what fits for me right now. And what I've always wanted in life is just relief from the fear, the need for approval, the not measuring up. I'm never enough. And so this matching calamity with serenity is such a beautiful promise, because I have moments of it and then the fear knocks me off my pegs and I'm desperately trying to get back to my higher power and get centered again. I see people in these rooms, I see people in my face-to-face meetings locally that they are living in that space, and I know that this can happen. I'm so grateful, and I just encourage everyone that work these steps. Well, first put down the food, work the steps, get a sponsor. It works, and I am seeing glimpses of that serenity, and it's a treasure. I'm very, very grateful for it. I won't be at convention. Everyone enjoy, and thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry S. Okay, that will conclude our meeting this morning, and thank you, everyone, who helped out this morning on Team Thursday, Athena B., Miriam Rifka H., Eileen M., Robin P., Mary H., and Janice P.M. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Robin P., if you would please read a vision for you.
Yes, this is Robin P., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,